Nyanny. I mean,
nyo nyo nyo. Oh my gosh.
Oh nyo nyo. Wait, are we starting?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's cute.
Hey guys.
Every time we record, it gets crazy.
It's crazy. <game over.
laughs> Oh. You didn't say pardon my reach. You just kind of assumed that I was fine. And you non-consensually reached over me.
Sorry.
Oh my gosh. Hey guys. Welcome back to the Called By Name podcast. We are so honored to have you here. We really are.
To talk to you.
We just are so blessed by your presence. You're not here right now, but you will be. You are right now. But like, when we're
just smiling, this. Nod, everybody.
Oh my gosh. The sass is crazy.
Okay, can I please explain? I'm really excited. I don't know why. Are we just going to dive into it, or should we ask how each other's days is going?
Whatever your little heart desires.
Okay. Okay, so how are you? How's life been?
Is that door open?
No.
Okay. It sounded like it was. Okay. It's been pretty good, actually. I've been a little... I've got a few camps coming up. This next month is literally going to be, like, slammed for me, which is going to be so good and so fun. But it's just a lot. We have church camp in less than a week. Mm-hmm. Someone texted me yesterday and they were like, we have camp in a week. And I was like, oh my gosh, we do.
My like, sister is like, kind of, she's like 7 days, 6 days, yeah. 2 days. And I'm like, it gets me excited, but.
Mm-hmm. I just like, it came so fast. And then 2 weeks after I get back from our church camp, I'm going to a circuit riders camp in Hawaii.
She's going to Kona.
For 10 days. And I'm so excited.
For 10 days. And I'm so excited, y'all.
I'm your mom. And I think you're going to be a healthy baby. That's just what that was giving. I've been good. Life has been good. I feel like... Okay. I've been doing this digital fast that our church is doing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's crazy.
Oh yeah, how's that going for you?
So I failed multiple times.
Yeah.
Like I just keep, it's so bad. I keep getting like sucked into it or like, mm-hmm. I'll be like the other day and my mom is like going to cry when she hears this because she never wants me to like do anything to my face unless I like consult her first, but she's out of the country at the moment. So couldn't really do that. I looked up a dermaplaning tutorial because I was like, I want a dermaplane, and it was fine, and I did it, and it was great, and whatever. But then you get sucked into, like,
mm-hmm.
you know, whatever, like, shorts
mm-hmm.
for a site. Which, YouTube shorts are just so, like, I've just grown tired of them.
Mm-hmm.
So I honestly think that, like, when the fast is over, I'm not going to have a problem with that.
Yeah,
because
right.
I'm just like, shorts are just so, like, what? It just gets crazy over there.
Yeah.
So, anyway, but... Aside from the fact that I have gotten sucked back into social media multiple mm-hmm. times, it's been really good. And I've had such clarity with the Lord and just like been, I've just felt his nearness so much in a way that I haven't in a very long time.
That's good.
Yeah. And I just feel like so refreshed
mm-hmm.
and so like, I don't know, like, I just feel like I'm just so... Like, everything that I've been doing in my day has just been so in tune with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And I can just feel him with me, mm-hmm. like, everywhere I go.
Yeah.
And I feel like I was in a season this past year where it was just really hard for me to... Just this past year has been a really hard year for me of just, like, between school and just, like, I don't know. It just felt like my relationship with the Lord was just so, like... It was just one of those dry seasons where you're just not.
Totally. Yeah.
And so I feel like I've been coming out of that, which is like so amazing because I've been literally praying for that
yeah.
and just being like, I don't want to be in this place of like, and obviously our feelings should never, you know, be the driving factor of our relationship with the Lord. I don't think that's healthy,
mm-hmm.
but I do think there is a level of it that's like, you shouldn't also just feel like it's just routine and that it's just right. religion and just right. things you have to do
yeah.
all the time. And that's how it was feeling. And it mm-hmm. was, it just felt so dry and it just felt mm-hmm. systematic almost. Yeah. And it was just like, okay. And it almost has been feeling like the Lord is just rewarding me for that, of like, because I stuck to it and I yeah. kept doing it anyways, like now right. I'm reaping the fruits of,
yeah,
you know, just grinding it out and being like, yeah. okay, well, I love the Lord and I'm right. not wavering from that. And
totally.
Even though I'm not in it right now and I'm not like, my heart isn't fully like mm-hmm. feeling everything, like I'm still going to push through because mm-hmm. I love him and I know that a day is coming when I'm
right.
when that right. breakthrough is going to happen. And I feel like I've just been coming out of that and it like, I just feel like I can breathe again. Like I just mm. feel so like,
yeah.
okay, like we made it through, like we yeah. we did it. And so yeah, yeah, just
that's good.
I've been doing good.
Doing good.
What about you?
I've been doing okay.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I've definitely been kind of in the midst of that season mm. a little bit, of just like, I know God is present, but
right.
having a hard time feeling his presence, like feeling mm. his nearness
yeah.
has been a little bit tricky for me. And just because there's so much joy that I find in that, of when I know he's near, like,
yeah,
I just find so much joy in that. And so the past couple weeks have been a little bit
hard,
a mm-hmm. little bit quiet, you know? And yeah. I know that God has been teaching me so much and kind of showing me how to pull myself out of just the noisiness of the world so that I can be quiet and hear what he has yeah. to say. And it's yep. not, it's kind of like me having to force myself to pull myself out of that and go into the quiet, because I can't hear yeah. his voice if I'm in the noisiness. So
yeah,
anyways, so it's been a journey, but it's also been really good. And I know that it's just a season and yeah. I'm gonna get out of it, and that it's all for the glory of God,
right?
So,
and understanding yeah. that is so important, that like mm-hmm. it's not forever, it's yeah. just a season,
right?
And you know, I like am now starting to see like the Lord actually used that season of my life to just literally grow my faith so much, even though it was really hard in the middle of that, like mm-hmm. coming out of that and seeing like, oh no, but he actually showed me that I can go a long period without like hearing his voice, or without right. necessarily feeling him with me all the time, and I can still yeah. be faithful, and I right. still have the bandwidth to like push through. And you know, Paul talks about how like we should rejoice in hard times because it grows our character and it grows our faith. And so
totally.
You know, yeah, I just want to encourage you with that, like it's not yeah. this stuff isn't forever mm-hmm. and you know, just because you don't feel his nearness doesn't mean he's not
yeah.
near, you know. And mm-hmm. even just asking him like, would you just show up in my day? Yeah. Like, would you just show me that you're near? Like, I just need that boost. I just need that right. reminder that you're here. And every time that I have prayed that prayer, he has always shown up and he has always come through for me. So,
yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's good.
You are so welcome.
Should we dive in?
Yeah. Let's do it.
So, basically, today we asked on our Instagram, if you haven't checked that out already, go check mm-hmm. it out. We asked you guys just what are some topics or questions that you have that you would like to hear us talk about.
Yeah.
And you guys have some pretty good responses. So.
Yeah.
We're going to, please, next time we do a question poll, please go in there yeah. and like respond to it.
There were so many of you that viewed it and just didn't say anything.
I was like,
I expect more from you. I'm talking to you right now. You know who you are.
So if you ever like see that, you should.
Yeah.
So basically, you should respond if you see those question polls.
Yeah, we need your questions, you guys. Please, I beg of you. Just kidding. Okay, let's
go
dive into the questions.
Yes.
Okay, so first question: testimonies, how you first experienced / met God.
That's a good one. I mean, I know this for both of us. Mm-hmm. We grew up in a Christian home.
Yeah.
Both were kind of pastor's kids.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think I honestly just remember back to like our kids' Sunday service, just, and it was like fourth and fifth class or something. I just remember like, I just remember getting the experience to pray for people.
Yeah.
And I, there's something so significant about that, of like just getting to pray for people. I think I really, it clicked in me and I was like, oh, this is like what we do. And I have the ability to pray for people and God gets to heal them through me. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, so that's probably as early as I can remember. But honestly, first experience meeting God, I think my relationship has grown with him, like an actual relationship and not just like we're Christian, we go to church, you know? Mm-hmm. When I was probably like 11 or something, I got my first actual Bible that when I could like read, you know? I just remember reading it all the time with my sister. We had matching Bibles and we would read all the time. And we would so make up, cute. We would make up names for the names that we couldn't pronounce. So like, like for example, there's, I actually don't even think I know the name, the actual names now because, but used to like, you know, the funny names like in Exodus or Genesis, we would make it like shrimp or ham or Japanese rice, or like we would name them really weird names.
That's so funny. And we would, I actually love that,
crack up dying laughing as we're reading the Bible, and then it's awesome, like ham and Japanese rice, and it's like I don't know why we just so anyways, I just remember that, and I remember just like really reading my Bible and getting to understand what all these grown-ups have talked about in church, you know, but experience it for myself. So
Yeah,
that's probably, and then from there, the relationship has just grown so much, and I've really gotten to see God in my life and experience that for myself, so.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think mine is actually kind of similar. I grew up in the church as a pastor's kid, and I was genuinely saved at, like, 3 years old, but it's kind of hard to explain, because when you grow up in the church, it's just, it becomes...
It's
just something that you do. And I think when I was young, I genuinely did have that fire and that passion for the Lord. Like, I genuinely believe that I did, but I just, you know, I had to grow up and actually realize that, you know, there are things that you do to maintain a relationship. Like you know, you read your Bible, you pray, that's how you maintain a relationship with the Father. And I think my first ever, like, love encounter, my first ever, like, actual encounter with the Lord that I remember is in 7th grade. We were at camp, which is so exciting because we're going to go back again. Like, all the years that I've gone back to that camp and seen where I had that, like, first encounter, it's just so, like, just so many emotions, and that place is just... has such a special spot in my heart, because I'm like, if I didn't have that encounter with the Lord, like, when I did, I genuinely would not be where I am today, because that moment just changed my life. And at the time, I was really just struggling with, like, body image and really just, you know, just the things that a younger girl will struggle with, of just feeling like I wasn't pretty, that like, I genuinely believed, which this makes me so sad, and I wish I could just go back and hug, like, 10-year-old me.
Aww.
But I, like, genuinely thought as a little girl that I, like, wasn't pretty enough and no boy would ever, like, want to marry me. Like, that was genuine, like, feeling that I had.
That's terrible.
And, yeah, I just remember, even, like, post-encounter, that it was something I really had to work through. And I remember, like, literally in 8th grade, I would just, like, literally cake my face in makeup because I was just so, like, insecure and just so, like, and it was so sad because my mom was not really keen on me, like, wearing makeup back then. So on the way to school, I literally, like, keep my head, like, turned out the window because I, like, didn't want her to see. And I just, like, so definitely, like, something that was really hard for me. And I mean, I don't know. I was just really struggling with that at the time. And my first encounter with the Lord was, I was on the altar literally just crying my eyes out, because I had never really like experienced the fullness of his presence before that moment. And I just got this vision of the Lord, and he had this like clay in his hands, and he was sculpting this like ballerina, like mm-hmm. this like model looking like. And she was just so beautiful, and she was dancing around, and I saw her, and the Lord was just like, that's you. Like, you see this version of yourself that mm-hmm. you don't think is good enough for mm-hmm. other people or for yourself, but like, this is how I see you.
Oh, yeah.
And so that was just like my first real moment with the Lord. And from that, it's just grown, and I've had so many more like encounters like that, and mm-hmm. That's how I first met God.
If I were a 10-year-old boy, I would want to marry you.
Oh, well, so thanks.
Okay, the next question.
Such a harsh transition, because
this is not very structured.
It's not as deep, but it's fine.
The next question is, what is your favorite book of the Bible and why? I love just the Bible in general.
The whole thing. Because
it's life and it's like good and it's,
it gives life.
I don't know. You can answer first if you want.
Yeah. I mean, I've been doing this Bible in a year plan. And so I've cranked out many books of the Bible the past 6 months. And I feel like there's different books that are really good for different things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like the Gospels are obviously so good for learning about Jesus and who he is and who he was on the earth and, you know, how we can live like Jesus and be like him. I think my favorite gospel would be John.
Yeah.
It's just very, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just love John.
Mm-hmm.
Another book that I really enjoyed reading, or books, was First and Second Kings,
mm-hmm.
because I think it's just such a great display of the generations, and it gets my heart every time. But just like the way, like when you read about King Josiah and how he was the first of a thousand generations to fear the Lord, like he, you know, rediscovered the laws of Moses, and he, you know, he was like, okay, let's follow these again. And he goes and he tears down the idols, and he lives a righteous, pure life. And so you just see how one person sets the standard for an entire generation. And that to me is just so beautiful, because you can come from any sort of background, whether it be amazing or, you know, horrible, like you can come from any background and decide, I'm going to put a flag in the ground for the generations to come and say, I'm not going to allow alcoholism to, you know, rule my family.
Yeah.
I'm not going to allow like sickness to be something in my family that we just accept. Like, it's so powerful to me reading these stories about these kings who go, no, I'm going to actually tear down the idols, and I'm going to make a stand and say, mm-hmm. like, this is not what our nation is going to come to. I don't know. It's something about that is just really powerful to me. And I really enjoyed reading about the kings.
Mm-hmm. That's really good. So. Yeah. I think for me, I've definitely bounced around with mm-hmm. favorite ones through the years and through the different seasons that I've been through.
Right.
But I've always loved Psalms and Proverbs.
Mm-hmm.
Those are just such good ones.
Psalms is good.
Yeah. I really love Matthew. Out of any of the Gospels, it's probably Matthew. And I love James too. Mm.
James is really good.
And I don't really have a reason why. They're just really good. Like,
it just is. A lot of the New Testament is just so profound. I also I love Romans too.
Oh yeah, And it really doesn't matter, like the amount of times I've read it. Mm-hmm. It just, no matter what season I'm in, it always hits me in a different way, and it's really good.
Yeah.
So, that's probably why.
It's good. All right, next question is how to hear God's voice clearly. I think in my own experience in my life, mm-hmm. The way that I hear God's voice clearly is to drown out the other noises in my life.
Yeah.
Whatever that may be, whether it's mm-hmm. social media, whether you have people around you that are, you know, not encouraging a lifestyle of the kingdom. Maybe you have friends around you that are like, maybe you have friends around you that are taking the place of the Lord's voice in your life. I think my experience has been so just like, I found that I don't hear God as clearly when I'm substituting his voice with other things. Mm-hmm. So, like I was talking about how I've been doing this digital fast and it has been so good for my relationship with the Lord, because I have oh my gosh. I think sometimes without, and this is just the danger of technology and social media in general, is it just is such a time suck. Like, it just literally takes up so much of your time. And I sometimes would just find myself just on my phone. And I mean, mm-hmm. it was never anything crazy. Like, I can honestly tell you my screen time is not that high, but it still just felt like in my relationship with the Lord, I still was prioritizing it too much.
Right.
And so I would just say, like, if you are looking to hear the Lord's voice more clearly, spend time with him more than anything else.
Yeah.
Get in your word, because the Lord will, he really speaks through his word. Like,
yeah.
His word is Jesus imprint. Like, everything that he wants to say to you, everything mm-hmm. he wants to speak to you, you're going to find in the Bible.
Yeah.
And obviously that'll come with your own revelations and
yeah.
things like that, and also just praying and asking to hear his voice and just asking him to make himself known to you, because yeah. that is also something that has really helped me get to know the voice of the Lord. And
mm-hmm.
I really love using this analogy of just like, the, you know, if Paisley comes up behind me and she is talking to me, I'm going to know it's her because I spend time with her
mm-hmm.
and I know who she is.
She knows my voice.
And yeah. And I've spent enough time with her to know what her voice sounds like.
Yeah.
And so it's the exact same thing with the Lord of mm-hmm. like, the more time you spend with him, the more you're going to get to know him, and the more you're going to get to know his voice. And, you mm-hmm. know, the Bible literally tells us, like, my sheep know my voice. So
yeah. Yeah.
The more you allow yourself to become a disciple of Jesus, the clearer his voice becomes.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Right. It's good. Yeah, I just would say the same thing. I think I talked about this in the beginning just with myself, but just sometimes God's going to speak to you more clearly in some seasons than others. And sometimes in those seasons where it feels like he's not speaking to you so clearly than he used to in other seasons, in those seasons, I try to do what Ava's saying, is kind of drown out the noisiness of the world and spend more time in the quietness of Jesus. And spending that time of taking that time to be in the quiet and be in the stillness. And it just reminded me of this in 1 Kings 19. It talks about how the Lord speaks to Elijah. And it says, the Lord passed by and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, mm-hmm. there was a sound of yeah. a gentle whisper.
Yeah.
And that goes hand in hand with what I'm saying of, you know, I think so many times we think God's going to speak to us in this big, profound way,
mm-hmm.
but
he really is in the gentle whisper. And that's why you have to kind of isolate yourself and take yourself out of the big noises of the world and listen for that gentle whisper, because because that's where he is, you know? So yeah, I would just say, and I would also pray about it. Like, praying is such a big thing. And I think so many of us just kind of let it go over our heads. But ask God, like, God, I want to hear your voice. I want to hear it clearly. Right, right. Teach me how to hear it clearly. And he will do that. It's not always going to be in your timing. It's always going to be in his timing. And it's not always going to be when you expect it, you know?
That's so good.
Yeah. Just trust him and he will. He also likes to speak to us in so many different ways. Like, he can speak to you through other people. He can speak to you through the word, through the Bible. He can speak to you through little signs, like a butterfly outside, you know? And I also like to kind of going back to that gentle whisper thing of looking and being more aware of kind of the world around me and listening for an I love you in a bird's chirp, or listening for I'm here with you in the sound of the wind, like something like that, that I think you kind of just get a sense when you are aware of those, you get a sense of him speaking to you. So
I agree with that. I think, you know, the Lord speaks to different people through different things. Like, for me, I've just kind of grown to know this about the Lord and about my relationship with him specifically, is that when the Lord is speaking to me, it's just like a knowing. Like, it's just, oh, I know. Like, I, it's just, I just get this feeling where I'm like, oh, you're, you know, if I'm feeling like the Holy Spirit is speaking to me about someone or something, it's just this like, oh man. Like, I can feel this. Like, I just know this. It just is a deep knowing within me where I'm just like, I know this is the Lord.
Right.
Like, an example is, I really wanted to go to Circuit Riders Camp, and praise the Lord, I'm going through his provision. But he told me early, when he first started speaking to me about him wanting me to go to this camp, he told me, you're not going to have to pay for your plane ticket. Like, someone else is going to pay for it for you. And it was just this knowing of like, I know I'm not going to have to pay for my own ticket. Like, I know that this isn't, I just knew. And, you know, when everything worked out, like, I didn't end up having to pay for my plane ticket. And so it was just like confirmation of like, that's how the Lord speaks to me. It's like, I just get this knowing of like, you know, it's just discernment.
But that takes practice. That takes time. You can't just click and get it. Instantly, you know.
But and then like for my mom, the Lord speaks to her through like pictures and visions and dreams. And so it's just different. You know, I can't sit here and tell you like you are going to hear this audible voice from the Lord and that is how he is going to speak to you. And that might be for you, and if it is, like, that's so awesome. But it's different for everyone. So
Okay. The next question is how to have a deep passion for something without idolizing it.
That's good.
That's really good.
That's a good question.
Yeah. I gotta think about that one.
Okay. Well, I think you'll know whether or not you're idolizing something.
Yeah.
Because if it's taking the place of God in your life, then it's an idol. If, you know, something happens, something bad happens, and the first thing you think of is turning to that thing. Like, if in the middle of you being stressed out, your first thought is to go to your phone or to look on social media to feel better, that's an idol. Anything that is taking the place of the Lord in your life is an idol. And so I think how you can have a deep passion for something without idolizing it is you can actually partner with God on that thing.
Right.
And, you know, you can say, okay, Lord, like, this is how it was for me, actually, was I was like, I really have a deep passion for social media and for posting videos and creating content. Like, I love it. And I just asked him to come into that space and to actually influence my content and what I was putting out and the videos I was making. And I just asked him to partner with me on that thing, because, you know, the Lord knows the desires of our hearts. Like, he searches our hearts. He knows us. He actually put those desires there. So if you're desiring to have something in your life, if you are desiring to pursue something, more likely than not, the Lord actually has that for you, and he actually put that there. So I think it's a matter of actually just partnering with him on that thing.
Yeah.
And welcoming him into that space. Mm-hmm. And pursuing that thing and having that deep passion for something with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I think it comes with, because if you try to have, you know, deep passion without the Lord involved, it can very quickly turn into an idol,
right?
And it can very quickly turn into something that replaces the Lord in your life.
Yeah. I think you said that great. I don't have anything to add.
Okay.
I think, you just will know. Mm-hmm. And because a passion and an idol,
They're two different things.
Mm-hmm. And if it's something that you're actually not sure about, you're like, I don't know if I'm partnered with God with this. I don't know if this is a passion that I don't know if this is an idol.
Yeah.
Ask him, pray about it.
Yeah. I was going to say too, like, when I was talking about that, something popped in your head where you're like, I wonder if that's an idol. It probably is if you're thinking about it. And so I would, just pray about it.
Yeah.
I would just encourage you to ask the Lord to reveal whether or not something is becoming an idol in your life.
Yeah.
And he'll show you, because he doesn't want anything coming between you and him. Mm-hmm. So he'll show you.
Yeah. It's good. The next question is how to stay on course with your walk with God amongst a generation that is the furthest.
Yep.
That's really good. Yeah. I mean, here's some practical things of just staying on course with your walk with God. I mean, I know it's so hard because there's so many temptations on that walk, on that narrow walk with God that just wants to, let's go over here, you know?
Yeah,
totally. But yeah, honestly, find really good godly community that will help you, that will walk with you, you know?
Keep you accountable.
Yeah, keep you accountable. And then staying in your word, staying consistent in your word and praying to God and having those conversations with godly people and surrounding yourself with that. Because I think it's same thing. If you surround yourself with worldly things, then that's going to be the path you're going to just stay on. Mm-hmm. But if you surround yourself with godly things, it's going to be easier, you know? So
yeah.
Anything you have to say?
I mean, yeah, that was pretty much what I was just going to say of like, who you hang out with and where you hang out with them is so important.
Yeah.
And if you are looking to grow your faith, spend time with people whose faith you admire. Mm-hmm. I mean, for me, the way that I've become so rooted in God and knowing who he is and being so confident in him is I've just spent time with him because, I've just spent so much time with him. I've learned so much about him and who he is that I'm why would I want anything else? Like, why, why would I strive to do anything else with my time? Mm-hmm. Like, I know, I know my creator. I know where my help comes from. Like, I know that he is the source. Like, and so the more time I've invested into my relationship with the Lord, the more and more rooted I've become in his presence and in his promises and all the things that are just him. Like, I've just become so much more rooted the more time I've spent praying and in my word and going to church, and I've truly like given my life to just being with God and spending time with the Father, and that has allowed me to really just stay on course and keep pursuing that. I think tending to that relationship and getting to know God for yourself, because we were talking about this like a little bit ago of how just like you can't rely on other people's revelations and yeah. sermons and a worship service to maintain your relationship with God. Mm-hmm. Like that is something that you have to actually develop in the secret place, and that's something that yeah. you actually have to pour into out of your own heart and out of your own time. Yeah. It's not something that comes with I go to church every Sunday or
right.
Because you're never going to be fully fulfilled in your relationship with the Lord if you're always relying on other people to mm-hmm. have your own to have revelations for you.
Right.
Like you have to seek it out for yourself. Otherwise you're not going to have roots that go deep. So
it's good.
Yeah.
That was good, guys. Did you hear that? That was good.
Thanks. Next question. What does being fully dependent on God look like?
That's a good one.
That's a good one. Depending on nothing else but God.
Yeah.
Pretty much. I mean.
Right. Submitting yourself. Mm-hmm. Submitting every area of your life. Including the good and the bad.
Yep.
And trusting God with them.
Yep.
And, I mean, yeah, depending on him, just, I mean, it kind of speaks for itself. Like, just kind of.
Yeah.
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 Submitting every area of your life and being consistent with that. Like, continuing yeah. to surrender that area yeah. of your life to him. And not just, like, kind of, you do it a one-time thing. Oh, yeah, God's got that. I depend on him for that. Mm-hmm. And then moving on, you know, like consistently.
Yeah.
letting God know that you trust him with that area of your life.
Yeah.
And. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, dependence is really, it's an art. Mm-hmm. Like you really have to learn dependence, especially in your walk with the Lord, because mm-hmm. I think in the world you're so used to having to depend on yourself for things and having to make things come out of your own work and your own performance and things like that. And with God, it's the complete opposite. It's the opposite of everything you know here in the natural. It's, you know, actually letting God just come through and be who he is and be, you know, right. good and providing. And that's an area that I've really had to, you know, learn to trust the Lord in and learn how to depend on him is in the area of provision, because, you know, for a time I was really stressed out about, cause once you start, you know, driving, it's like, how am I going to pay for gas? Because gas is so expensive, especially living in California. Are you kidding? It's like, I start the car and it's like $20 just gone. and so I was really stressed about that, but the Lord kept showing up over and over and over. And I eventually just got to this point where I was like, I just have full faith in you, God. Yeah. Like, I know you're going to provide for me. And now it's like, okay, I have a grand total of $10 in my bank account, but I yeah. know that like this week the Lord is going to provide for me. And right. you know, I'm going to get a babysitting job. And then mm-hmm. someone will text me like the next yeah. day and be like, hey, can you come watch my kids for like 8 hours? And I'm like,
yeah.
thanks God, like, you know,
right.
And so I think dependence, at least in my personal experience, has come from a place of getting almost to a point of mm-hmm. okay, well, I have no other option but to depend on
yeah,
you.
Right.
Like I can't make this right. happen out of my own strength. Mm-hmm. And so I think dependence comes from this place of making a conscious decision to trust the Lord, even when it doesn't make totally. sense, even when you're scared, even when you don't understand how things are going to pan out, like mm-hmm. just trusting that he has you and he has yeah. your back is so important. And mm-hmm. it's a conscious effort of, like you said, continually yeah. submitting to him and continually being like, okay, I trust you, I trust right, you right. I trust you. And then eventually that trust will turn into dependence when mm-hmm. you're where you're just like, okay, I can't depend on myself yeah. for my needs,
right.
you know?
Right.
And, you know, Matthew literally talks about how he feeds the birds of the air and he clothes the lilies of the field. So, yeah. you know, how much more will he care for us?
Mm-hmm.
And so right. understanding that of just like, you know, you know, our dependence can come from a place of knowing that he's mm-hmm. going to provide, because that's what totally. he's done, and all of scripture will back that up. Of he's a God who comes through. He is worthy of our mm-hmm. dependence and of our trust.
Yeah. Yeah. And even just like what you're saying about how God continued to show up over and over again and provide. And he did that because you gave him your yes, and because mm-hmm. you gave him your trust. And I think that first step of that is that's literally what faith is.
Yeah.
Is giving God your yes, trusting that he is going to provide and that he's going to show up over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you give him that yes and that step of faith, then he will do that. Then he will show up in your life. And that faith is depending on God. So
totally.
Yeah. The next question is, well, they said, could you talk about the difference between spiritual and religion?
Can I talk? Yes. Do you want to go first or should I?
I don't. I mean, spiritual. Yeah, you can talk.
The difference between.
I feel like we've had a conversation, yeah, like
guys,
an episode
about
this.
We fully talked about this for forever in season 2, episode 2, I believe it
season
is.
Season 1, episode. Oh.
No.
Yeah.
So it was recent that we just recorded this, mm-hmm. but we talk all about this. I can give like a brief little synopsis.
Brief. Yes.
Okay. Paisley. I can give like a brief little overview. And then
124, that's crazy.
Good. But if you are wanting a deep dive into that conversation,
go check out that season
episode two of season two. Yes.
22.
I don't know what I'm saying.
22.
Okay. So religion is defined as a particular system of faith and worship. And in that episode, I emphasized system because I think religion says you aren't good enough. You have to perform. You have mm-hmm. to work to be good enough and for God to love you. That's what religion says. You know, Jesus actually came to kill that spirit of religion mm-hmm. Because the reality is nothing that we can do can make us worthy of God's love. He chooses to love us, and that's the end of it. Like, that is... what makes us worthy of his love is that he chooses to love us even though we weren't worthy. And so, religion says you're not good enough, but the spiritual, more relational side of that is that you are what it sounds like. You're in relationship with God. Mm-hmm. It's not a system of things of just going to church, praying, doing all the right things just to check the boxes. You know, and just like this is kind of all over the place. I'm so sorry. But, you know, Jesus came to kill the spirit of religion. Because, you know, if we could make ourselves worthy, if we could, if our works and our performance could get us to heaven, Jesus wouldn't have needed to come. Mm. And so, that's the brief kind of summary of what we talked about. If you're wanting a more of like a deep dive into that conversation,
episode
is there
two.
Just for you.
Yeah, just for you.
Okay, next question is, how do I know what my purpose is? Mm-hmm. Is that different from my identity?
That is a good one.
It's a good question. I almost said her name.
I know, me too. I don't think she cares, but.
Yeah, probably shouldn't anyways.
Yeah. That's a really good question. Okay, first of all, how do you know what your purpose is? So God does this thing where, like, when he created you, he gifted you with, like, these little gifts and these talents and these skills.
Mm-hmm.
And I think those are kind of, like, arrows and signs to, like, what your purpose is. I feel like there's, like, ultimately our purpose is to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Our purpose is to share the goodness of God with the world, to love others, to love our neighbors as ourselves, and
make disciples of all nations.
Exactly.
Yep. So
I'm all over the place.
Okay.
Do you want me to? But yeah, so you'll just look at those gifts, those little, pray about it, you know, ask God, hey, what have you skilled me with? Ask your friends, ask your family, ask your close circle.
Yeah.
That's so what good. Yeah. What he has gifted you with, the little, like, you know,
yeah.
little gems that he just, like, that you have. And then look at how those, which way are they pointing, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's good. I think your purpose is separated into two individual.
Mm-hmm.
So there's like general purpose, things that every Christian is supposed to do.
Yeah.
That, you know, everyone is, you know, you have mandates from the Father of like, go and make disciples of all nations, love your neighbor as you love yourself, things like that where it's generalized. And then you have your individual purpose.
You're right.
That is going to look different for everybody. Mm-hmm. And I think you find your general purpose by reading the Bible and learning what the word says about our purpose as human beings in general.
Mm-hmm.
And then finding your individual purpose, honestly, just praying and just spending time with the Lord and asking him, like, what have you mandated me specifically to do? What is a mandate or a mantle on my life that I am called to?
Mm-hmm.
'Cause that's going to look different for everyone. We're all called to spread the gospel. We're all called to make disciples, but how we do that is different.
Yeah.
And, and I know my response for a lot of these questions has been like, spend time with the Lord, pray, read the Bible. But honestly, you're going to find.
We can't tell you that.
Yeah.
We can't tell you the direct answer that you're looking for, I guess.
Well, and it's just like the answer to all of your questions is literally going to be, you know, read your Bible, pray, be in community, all those general things. So if you're hearing a lot of the same things, if you're seeing a pattern, that's because there is one.
There is one and it's good. And you should follow it.
They also said, is that different from my identity? Yes. Mm-hmm. Your purpose is what you're made to do and your identity is who you are.
So. Yeah. Right.
There you go.
There you go. There you have it. Next question, how do I survive or even thrive in the dry/valley season? I feel like we also, didn't we have an episode, didn't we just talk about this?
It
was the last episode on, no, the episode before that on being like on fire for God.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is something that I honestly need to hear right now. Of just how to get through those dry seasons.
I think tending to that flame and just really like pushing through, 'cause it's going to be hard.
Right.
And those seasons are hard and everyone has those seasons. Everyone has the valley seasons and everyone has the mountain seasons. Mm-hmm. And you know, the Lord takes us through different seasons for different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the way that you get through those is by continuing to press in and spend time with him anyways, even when you don't feel like it.
Yeah.
And asking him to show up because he wants to. He wants you to have that experience with him of knowing his presence, of knowing his love. And he wants you to have that passion and those feelings, even though your feelings shouldn't be driving your relationship with the Lord. Right. He wants you to have that still. And he wants you to feel his peace. He wants you to feel his love.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's, you know, what I would say is, for me and my experience, reading the Bible and just continuing to press in and to pray and to worship, and
even
really,
if you don't feel like it,
and really just seek his presence, especially in the moments that you don't feel like it, because that's when it's the most vital. It's easy to praise the Lord, it's easy to worship him, it's easy to spend time with him when you feel like it, but when you don't, that's where a lot of the growing happens, when you choose to just do it anyways and to press in.
Totally. That's so good. Yeah. I think I would agree. Just, even if it's hard, even if it feels impossible, pushing through.
Yeah.
And knowing that that season's not going to last forever. And, I mean, just really looking for the things that God wants to teach you in those seasons of dryness, in the valley seasons, because those seasons aren't just for no reason. Like, they have a purpose. And God wants to teach you things through those seasons, and he wants his glory to be known in those seasons. And so I think just looking for those things and praying for those things to be revealed to you. And that's, I mean, I think that's one of the things that's been helping me get through it, of just seeing what God has to do and why he's put me in this season, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Learning how to be slow to anger.
Yeah, that's a really good topic, honestly, because I think so many times we, as people, as humans, we like to do that. We like to be quick to anger, and we kind of normalize that and let it go over our heads, and we don't realize that we're being so quick to anger rather than slow to anger, you know? I would just say, honestly, there's so much in the Bible that talks about love and loving and being quick to loving and...
Yeah, quick to listen, slow to anger.
Yes, yes.
Yep.
Just good. The Bible.
The Bible. Yes.
Anything you have to say about that?
I think you covered it. It's pretty good. He teaches you patience. And that's that's a fruit of the Spirit. So the more that you spend time with him and the more that you're with him, your patience is going to grow as a result of being in his presence and spending time with his Holy Spirit.
It takes time too.
Yeah. It's not just going to click and all of a sudden you're just going to have a mass amount of patience.
Yeah.
It takes time. And it's okay. It's okay. The Lord is gracious and he understands there's a process for everything.
Speaking of fruits of the Spirit.
Fruits of the Spirit. !! Grape, blueberry, strawberry.
Fruit. I love her.
I know, I do too.
Fruits of the Spirit. That's a good topic.
Yeah. Basically.
We could read them from the Bible.
Yeah. I was just going to name them off, but you know.
We could read them from the Bible.
Do you know where it is in the Bible?
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. Peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. What else do they have to say about that?
Pew. Just
gentleness, self-control, passion. Wait, that's not really one. Yeah.
Gentleness and self. Yeah.
Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Nine fruits of the Spirit.
And how do you get those? Well, let me tell you, spending time with God. Surprise, surprise. Are we shocked? No, we're not.
No.
Because fruits of the Spirit are, it's the fruit that comes from spending time with the Holy Spirit. So, yeah.
I loved that response. Spending time with the Holy Spirit. Yeah.
Because, the Bible talks a lot about fruit. You hear that a lot in the Bible of, you know, the fruit that you reap from sowing and... Mm-hmm. Things like that. And so what it means is what the Bible means by fruit is the things that you gain. So fruits of the Spirit is things that you're gaining from the Spirit, and the fruits of the Spirit are things that are going to come from spending time with the Lord and getting to know him.
Right.
And being in his presence.
And those are all such good qualities that I think we should all work on. So guys, work on being loving, work on being joyful, work on being peaceful, work on being patient. Work on being kind. Work on being good. Work on being faithful.
Yeah.
Gentle. And having self-control.
That's the hardest one.
It is.
Self-control. Well, they're all very hard in their own ways. But something that I've just kind of been like thinking and like processing, it's kind of related to this, but also not really. It just like sparked it in my brain and made me think of it. But like.
Sparked it in my brain.
Basically, like. You know, I've just been thinking a lot about how obviously we know God is real and we know all like heaven is reality and all those things. But I was just thinking like, man, like even if God wasn't real and I die and I'm like, oh, God's not real. Yeah. I still lived my life serving people and having that love and having that joy and being good and faithful and having self-control and being patient. Like I lived my life doing all those things and serving people. And, you know, doing the best I could to be the best version of myself in the healthiest way possible.
Right.
And, like.
That's a pretty good life, y'all.
Yeah. It's a good life.
Yeah.
It's a good life. So, you know, as opposed to thinking that God isn't real and just mm-hmm. living my life in a way that is selfish and demeaning towards mm-hmm. other people and, right. you know, not really benefiting anyone else.
Yeah.
My, if I was just selfish and I didn't believe in the Lord, like, my life would just, I would only be seeking to benefit myself.
Yeah.
And then what's my purpose of
right. There's like, it's kind of pointless. It's kind of, yeah.
Yeah. You gain your purpose from the Lord. Mm-hmm. And so when you don't have that connection and that relationship with him, it's hard to know your purpose. And then it's hard to live your life in a way that is purposeful.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Anyway, just something I've been thinking about.
So basically fruit. The next question is, how do I love my neighbor as myself? And what does that look like? We were just talking about this. Okay, well, the Bible tells us to love our neighbor mm-hmm. as ourselves.
Yeah.
And, like, first of all, you're not going to be, like, treating yourself with, like, so much disrespect and so much, like, hate.
Yeah.
And then go and, like, just be, do the same to everyone else.
Yeah.
You know? And also that kind of can be backwards, too. You're not going to go and, and love all these people and be so kind and generous, but then not do that to yourself. You can talk now.
I think just, what does it look like? It looks like having a servant's heart mm-hmm. and being willing to serve people.
Yeah.
And
I mean, Jesus literally lived his life like this.
Yeah.
So just go look at Jesus' life.
Yeah. And he tells his disciples, like, as he's washing their feet, he says, yeah. like, I didn't come to be served. I came to serve. Mm-hmm. So if
we should be living our lives and looking at our lives like that.
Yeah.
Like, and
I have this in my bathroom. I have my like identity mirror and I just put scripture and, you know, different like phrases and things that I want to claim over myself as like who I am in the Lord. And one of them says, God didn't add another day to my life because I needed it. He added it because someone out there needs me.
Wow.
And so it just kind of puts things into perspective of like, I'm not here to be served. I'm here to serve. I'm here to benefit other people. I'm mm-hmm. here to be a light and be salt in other people's lives. And
totally,
you know, I'm not here for myself. I'm here on mission for the kingdom. And the ultimate act of love that you can do for someone, the Bible says, is to lay down your life for them. And mm-hmm. that looks like serving them and just like being someone who's there for that person, being mm-hmm. that shoulder to cry on, being someone who is there and has open arms. And I also think if you truly love someone, you're going to tell them the truth. You're going to tell them about Jesus. You're going to tell them the good news. You're going to tell them the gospel because you love them and you want mm-hmm. that eternal life for them. And I've just found that true in my own life of like people that I really, really love, like actually genuinely care about. Mm-hmm. I want them to know Jesus because I know right. that the life they're living in is not
totally
what God has for them. And it's not the fullness of life.
Yeah.
You know, the Bible calls us to love everyone. So really, we should just be spreading the gospel as our act of love towards people and
right.
loving our neighbors as ourselves.
See.
Yeah.
I agree.
Well, is fasting something I should be doing? Yes. Is it worth it? Also yes. because fasting, you should do fasting.
We're getting to that point, guys.
Yeah, I know. We recorded a twofer today, so we're both kind of like just like that.
yeah.
Fasting, you know, there's lots of scripture supporting mm-hmm. fasting. You know, Jesus fasted often. In fact, the first thing he did before he began his ministry was he fasted in the wilderness for 40 days.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's very biblical. Jesus does it. and yeah. you should be doing it. And I think, you know, there's different ways you can fast. You know, you can, biblically, the only way that is truly fasting is fasting food.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, like I just told you, we're doing like a digital fast. Biblically, is it actually a fast? No. But we're giving that to the Lord, and we're giving up that thing and being mm-hmm. like, I want to seek you in replacement of this. And so it's the same concept as a fast. But yeah, it looks different. I've, mm-hmm. you know, there's different kinds of fasts that you can look into. I know people do like juice fasts where they don't eat meat or don't eat food, and they just drink juice as mm-hmm. their source of like nourishment.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. And then is it worth it? Absolutely. Because the Lord will speak to you in that season of giving something up in turn to seek him. Yeah. Like, I mean, I've already mentioned this multiple times, but talking about the fast that I'm doing with my phone, like
mm-hmm.
it has literally changed my relationship with the Lord, and it has grown me so much, and it has been so worth it. And even though it was hard at the beginning, I've gotten into the rhythm of it, and now it's like I'm starting to reap the fruit of that, and I'm starting mm-hmm. to hear the Lord's voice so clearly. Like,
you hear
him so much when you fast. And, you know, some people, and this would be, I feel like this is its own podcast episode, because there's so much we can talk about here. But
yeah,
it's so worth it. And so if that's a topic that you want us to do an episode on, DM us, let us know, comment, because mm-hmm. we love hearing your guys's feedback. So if there is something that you really want us to talk about or that you're curious about, just DM us.
Mm-hmm. I mean, is it worth it? Fasting, I mean, the things that God can do mm-hmm. in our lives when we give him our obedience.
Yeah.
Is really, really special and really cool, because it's such a personal thing that is up to what God wants to do with you and him in your life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in fasting is giving up something so that we can gain something too. Like, I feel like that's also a big part of it, of when we give this thing that we might be idolizing, we're giving up this thing to God in obedience and kind of surrendering that, the things that he can teach us and the things that we will gain the things that he has for us is so worth it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
That's good.
Love it.
A last question. What do you wish all girls believed about themselves?
That you are chosen.
Yeah.
And that you're so special to the Lord, mm-hmm. and that you're called by name. That's why we're here, is so that you can believe that about yourself. Yeah. Just that, like, you are perfect the way God made you.
Mm-hmm.
You are so worthy of love. You're so deserving of, I have experienced so many friends, so many girls, just at my school or
mm-hmm.
things like that have allowed themselves to settle because they don't believe they're worthy of true love and affection.
Mm.
And that hurts my heart. And so just understanding that, like, even though God's best might mm-hmm. not come in your time frame, it might not come right when you want it, he has that for you. It's mm-hmm. coming, and you are so deserving of someone who is going to love you and cherish you the way that God loves and cherishes you.
Yeah.
And you don't have to settle for anything less than that. Mm-hmm. Just because maybe you grew up in a home where you weren't loved and you weren't valued mm-hmm. and you didn't have the love and the value that you deserved, that doesn't mean that that's your portion. And mm-hmm. that doesn't mean that, you know, there isn't, like, God has so much more for you than that. Yeah. And I just wish that's something that everyone understood, of like, God has more for you than mediocrity in any relationship that you're going to have.
Yeah.
And
that's good.
Yeah. Cause I think so many girls are so just like, we tend to just question our value and our worth so much, and just understanding that, like, you're like, God says you're enough, and God says you're beautiful, and God says, hey, I made you this way for a purpose and for a reason.
Yeah.
And choosing to walk in that and choosing to believe that is something that I really just wish everyone could understand. And
I would just say, I mean, and this is not even just for girls, I would say for anyone in general, simply that Jesus loves you.
Yeah.
Just the way you are, just the way that he created you.
Yep.
And I mean, I just wish everyone would understand that the level and the amount of love that the Lord has for you, and just the, I mean, the amount of willingness he has to partner with you and to walk with you in your life, and every area of your life is crazy. Like, he he just is so willing to, like, I mean, he died on the cross for you so that he could walk with you and that he could walk in relationship with you. And I just wish everyone would like understand that, you know, understand that all of that is coming out of a place of just deep love and that he has for you. And also just that you deserve a godly community. I don't know why. I just feel like, I don't know if there's someone watching that feels like they don't deserve to have good friends, or they're not worthy enough, or they're not enough to have those kinds of friends. And I just feel like God wanted me to remind you that you are worthy of having a godly, God wants that for you. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's not something that he's hindering from you. Like, he wants you to have that godly community and have, to be surrounded by good community. And so,
I feel that too. Yeah. Just that you deserve to have people you can trust.
Right.
You shouldn't have to be living in fear of, is this person going to hurt my feelings? Is this person going to, like, can I trust this person? You deserve people around you who are going to love you and who are going to point you towards Christ. Yeah. Like, you deserve those people. And anything that says that you aren't, that you don't deserve that, is a lie from the enemy. Because he knows how powerful isolation is and how much he can use that. So don't allow yourself to fall to that lie that you don't deserve to be around people, because you do, and you deserve the best of friends. You deserve the best romantic relationships. You deserve the best, like, God has the best in relationships for you. So
that's it.
That is it.
Thank you guys so much for those of you who did add response. Give us responses to our little poll on Instagram, and for allowing us to answer your questions.
Yeah.
And have this little episode conversation. So thank you.
I love episode conversations. Yes. If you made it to this point, congratulations. I'm proud of us for making it to this point, because that was rough.
We're a little fried.
I need to go home and sleep.
Yeah.
Thank you guys so much for staying tuned. Don't worry. please go rate, review, share, follow us everywhere you get your podcast episodes, and we'll see you next time for episode 5.
Have a fantastic week.
We love you. Okay.